You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another edition podcast here on the Teardown feed. My name is Jeff Gluck and I'm a writer for The Athletic. Each week I ask a race car driver the same 12 questions, and this week it's Michael Waltrip, who most recently was seen on the SRX track, obviously a two-time Daytona 500 champion as well. And you might be like, well, that's kind of weird timing. Why Michael Waltrip right now being on the 12 questions? Honestly, I keep seeing these social media pictures about this beer that he has and he's been promoting. And I'm like, what is up with this? Where did this beer come from that he has? And now he has like a tap room. So honestly, I kind of just wanted to ask him about it and figured this would be a good excuse to do it. He's opening the tap room this week. Not an ad, I promise. This is like my idea to reach out. It wasn't like this isn't like some sponsor thing. I was just curious about like, where did this beer come from? And figure we could ask the other 11 questions at the same time. So here we go with 12 questions with Michael Waltrip. All right, everybody, I'm here with Michael Waltrip. And Michael, the first question is, when you meet someone who doesn't know who you are, do you ever lie about what you do for a living?
No, I just say my name's Daryl and I'm retired and I live in Tennessee.
That's perfect. That's perfect. Which current NASCAR driver have you known for the longest?
Denny's probably the one I've known the longest. We've been friends the longest. Kevin's been around longer, so maybe I knew him a little bit before. But as far as friends and guys you hung out with, Denny would be the longest.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Can you describe to us what it feels like to crash in a race car?
Well, I have two answers for that question, and they can both be answered with one wreck. I think it was Miami in 04, and me and the family were going to go on vacation the next day to Puerto Rico, and I went into turn one and blew a right front, and I was near the bottom of the track, and when that tire popped, I remember thinking, I ain't going to Puerto Rico.
Wow.
I'm going to the hospital, you know, with that speed and that angle. And I hit, and it was the safer barrier. It was the first time I'd really hit one from a severe angle, you know? And I hit, and I'm like, that didn't even hurt. That's wow. Awesome. I am going on vacation. In fact, I think I'm going to get to leave a little earlier than I thought. And just the violence of hitting a concrete wall, it's hard to describe. And it's just so abrupt. It's just vicious. And the difference between that and hitting a safer barrier, it's amazing. And I'm so thankful every day that, you know, a lot of people say, what's the biggest safety intervention? And the Hans comes to people's mind first. But to me, it's not even close. It's those safer barriers.
Wow. That's really interesting. Do you have any new habits or lifestyle changes you've made lately that you're particularly proud of?
Yes. So I've always been a bit of a fitness guy. I ran marathons when I was a race car driver, just because I wanted to prove to everybody that you might outrun me, but you would never outlast me. Mm. That's why I did it. And, I was proud of that. I ran four marathons. My fourth, I made it in less than 4 hours, which I, that's not Jimmy Johnson-esque, but it's certainly an athletic accomplishment.
Yeah.
And then just over the years, bouncing back and forth with being in shape and not, but over the last year, I've lost over 50 pounds and, wow. I can lift more weights than maybe I ever could. So, yeah, I have a buddy, he's like 86 years old and we play golf every now and then. And he's a little feller, skinny, you know, a thin feller. And he told me one day, he said, Michael, when you get old, being smaller helps you. It makes it less complicated. And that was probably my motivation. And I decided that I was going to lose all that weight. And so, the answer is, and it's been consistent through my life, just using, you know, being in shape, trying to fight the fat and having a low heart rate and doing everything you can to live as long as you can, I guess.
What's your secret? How have you lost all the weight?
It started with intermittent fasting. And so I go 16 hours without eating.
Wow.
So it doesn't matter when I ate last, I won't eat again for 16 hours. And that was the catalyst, I think, for, and you know, at first it was really hard. But then after you get used to it, when it's time to eat, you don't want to eat a cheeseburger because you're like, I've been starving for 16 hours. I want to make sure I eat something that's decent. And so just the intermittent fasting and then adding in when COVID happened back in 2020, you know, you couldn't go to the bar and have nachos. They weren't open. So I just said, well, I'm going to walk and run and just live a better lifestyle. So that's what I'm most proud of these days.
Wow. That's phenomenal. Good for you. What makes you laugh during a race?
Other drivers talking about what an idiot the other driver is. Driver's saying that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen anybody do ever. And then they do the same thing, you know, a lap later. And so it isn't the stupidest things they ever saw. Just the power of, and I lived it, obviously, the power of that button on the steering wheel makes me laugh because, you know, you push that thing down and it doesn't matter if you're talking to Muhammad Ali, you know, you're a badass. You could beat him up when you got your finger on that button.
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's the thing that makes me laugh the most because it's going to happen on Saturday night, you know, it's going to happen again and again and again because you just can't help it.
Yep. That's right. What is a quality or skill you envy in other drivers?
Car control, I guess, would be the short answer to that. Guys that can hang it out and not let it get away from them. And everybody at the cup level can do that, but some people can go faster than others while doing that. And that's someone told me a long time ago, and I've always remembered it. Everybody has obviously a windshield in their car, and some drivers' windshield is bigger, if you will, because, you know, if their car isn't handling, they can still work through it. And then there's a lot of people with the car, you know, if the car is perfect and it's right down the middle of the windshield, they're going to win the race. But the people that can overcome ill handling cars and have that car control, I think is what impresses me the most.
Yeah, that's a great answer. So this is a wild card question where I'm mixing it up for each driver. Obviously you recently launched Michael Waltrip Brewing Company and you just opened this tap room in Bristol a couple weeks ago or very recently. I've seen all this on social media and I haven't got to ask you about it at all. What's your motivation to do this with the beer and what's your vision for how you want all this to grow?
Well, the motivation was, and it's a funny story. Me and a couple of buddies were playing golf in wine country, Sonoma. And we quite honestly, we didn't have anything to do the next day other than golf. And we got served too much wine. We drank too much Peju, if I remember it, P-E-J-U. that winery. We went there and they gave us too much of it. And so we went to the first tee and I said, I'm not feeling it, boys. I've got a wine hangover and they're the worst. I said, why don't we drink beer? I don't think we would feel near this way if we drank beer. And they said, I don't know. I just don't really like many beers. I said, well, let's make some beer. Let's do something. That's how desperate I was. And so, Brian Sperber and Glenn Gross, they're my partners. Brian used to be the president of Phoenix Raceway, and Glenn owns bars and restaurants in Texas and Arizona. So that's his world. And we said, let's try it. It sounded silly, but we said, let's do it. That'd be fun. So our assignment was to go to, we met a brewmaster guy and he said, go to Denver, Colorado, if y'all want to really do it right, and visit pubs and microbreweries and take a notepad and write down everything you like and you don't like about beers and report back to me. So that's how silly it started and how serious we were. We're like, all right, we're going to Denver. And of all we could have gone anywhere, I think, you know, but of all places, we went to Denver, Colorado and spent 2 days. And the notes at noon when we started were pristine. You could see everything by 6 o'clock when we were at our last stop during the day, you know, the notes weren't as clear, but we came up with a list of things we liked and didn't like, and what we liked about an IPA, what we liked about a stout, about an amber, about a Mexican lager, and handed it over to our brewmaster friend. And he came up with three recipes. We have three beers that are in distribution. You can go to Food City in Tennessee and in Virginia, and a lot of other locations in Tennessee and Virginia, along with our brewery in Bristol. And you can buy our three styles at the store. And that's a blonde ale, which is our two-time blonde. Now, did he win the Daytona 500 twice, or does he have a bad girlfriend? Those are the five on your own. The two-time checkered past, same thing. Did he win, or is there things in his closet we don't need to know about? And then our two-time Mexican lager, which is called Vamanos, which means let's go. And I joke with Daniel Suarez all the time. I said, this is your beer. This is our beer, mine and yours. If you don't like it, this isn't going to work. And Daniel had one of them. He said, you know, Michael, you've done a nice job with our beer. So that's how it all started. The goal would be to be able to walk in any store in America and buy a Michael Waltrip beer. The short-term goal is to make Bristol, Virginia, which it's just right across the border from Bristol, Tennessee, you know, State Street splits the two states, and we're just on the Virginia side, but just to make Bristol, Virginia a destination for race fans and just people that want to go and have a cold beer and have some friendship and enjoy relaxed atmosphere. We've been open for 2 weeks. We're going to have our grand opening next Wednesday night, prior to the truck race on Thursday in Bristol. And hopefully, you know, anything that's new, obviously in these challenging times, being able to, you know, to be ready for a crowd it makes me a little bit anxious, but nevertheless, I'm very excited about the building. I can send you a couple pictures of it if you like, but they're on my social media. So I'm very excited about the building and the atmosphere and how comfortable it feels.
That's great. That's really cool. Very interesting origin story too. So this has become a remote work world, and I know you've lived in North Carolina for a long time now. If you could relocate to a different state, you know, you could still do your TV obligations or whatever you wanted to do. Where else would you want to live?
I always said I would spend the winter in Phoenix because I love it in Arizona. I also love Banner Elk in the summer, which is in the North Carolina mountains. And Michael Jordan has a really nice golf course in Jupiter, Florida. That might be an option as well. I got to try to see if Denny can put me on his list of, like, if I want to join, you know, he could tell Michael that it's okay if I do.
Uh-huh.
So I would, one of those three is where you would most likely find me if I weren't here in at Lake Norman. But this is a really cool place to spend some time as well. So I'm really blessed that I wound up in North Carolina. I enjoy golf a lot, and the other three locations I mentioned, Banner Elk in the summertime is a great place to play golf. Playing golf down in Jupiter at Michael's place is fun. And obviously Scottsdale's got a lot of cool places to play as well.
That's great. What is an embarrassing mistake you made on the racetrack that you're comfortable sharing with us now?
Punching Lake Speed in the head. That's probably the most, that wasn't on the track. It was on pit road, but that was probably the most embarrassing thing that I've done, because you're not supposed to commit physical abuse, but it happens. I understand that. That was pretty bad. Embarrassing on the track, like something that I know what it was. It was, and I will take part. I will take most credit for this because I did it. But I left pit road in the qualifying race at Daytona when I was a part-time racer and had to make the race. And this is my fault. I'm not going to blame my spotter, because every driver blames his spotter. That's easy. But when I got down to turn one, he said, stay on the apron. And I did it. Even though that wasn't the rule, you could go on the track, and I spun out and hit the wall. And luckily, I don't remember how it happened, but I got in the race because of my speed in qualifying or something. But that was the most embarrassed I'd ever been, because I knew better, but I didn't. That sucked. I'm sure, Jeff, if you look back on the internet, you can find way more embarrassing things than that. But those are the two that come to mind. Lake was really embarrassing, because I shouldn't have hit him. Remember this, Lake's a great Christian man, so he forgave me, and we're friends today.
Oh, there you go. That's nice. That's a good ending. So I ask you this not knowing what your future plans are to get back in a car, or if SRX is in the future or anything like that again, but if someone were to hand you an envelope and inside of this envelope was the date of your final career win, would you want to open it?
Yes. Yeah. Because I don't know when it is, or when it was, or when it might be, because I thought I was going to win a couple of those SRX races, and that would be pretty cool. And I hadn't really thought about racing NASCAR anymore until doing that. And, when you're out there with some of the best in the world and you're able to stand toe to toe with them, sometimes it makes you think, well, maybe I do have one more win in me. But I will tell you for sure, I'm really thankful that, that I got one last win at the truck race in Daytona in 11, because, it's like pre 11, you asking me this question, I wouldn't have known the, I wouldn't have known. I would have thought, maybe not, but, my family there and being able to win that race was something that was really special to me. And, wish my spoiler hadn't have fallen off, because that kind of sucks. That win, has that attached to it. But oh well.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah, that's right. Have you achieved your childhood dream?
Yes. Yes, 100% sure. I dreamed of racing at Daytona, and I wasn't bold enough to dream of winning there. I just remember wanting to race there, and to be able to win at Daytona, and to be able to, I look around my house a lot of times, and I think to myself, for someone that's known for not winning a lot, I sure do have a lot of trophies. I've been really blessed. And, when we raced Darlington Sunday, it was the day in 92 that I won the Busch race there. And I think second was Mark Martin, third was Dale Earnhardt, and fourth was Dale Jarrett, that's 1992. And obviously those three went on to be pretty good drivers. So, you know, having the wins I've had and being able to do the things I've gotten to do, I mean, I'm pretty lucky, pretty thankful.
That's cool. That's really cool. So each week I ask a driver to give me a question for the next interview. And the last one was with Justin Allgaier. And his question for you is, if you could go back and do one thing over that changed the trajectory of your career, what would it be?
The answer to this is very simple to me. In the late 80s, early 90s, I should have taken a chance. I should have said, all right, I'm stuck in this. The ride I'm in is not working for me. It's, you know, it might be a great car, but it ain't. But it was a ride, and I was, you know, I was close to winning, and I almost won. But I just wished I'd have been bold enough, confident enough. I wished I'd have said, I'm going to become a free agent, and if nobody wants me, then so be it. But I did it, and I hung in there, and the only reason why it all turned out okay is because, you know, my friend Dale, he always said, you'll win. You're good enough to win. And then when the Wood Brothers ride became available, I don't know how many people know this, but I'm pretty sure he got me that ride. He told Lynn and Eddie, he said, put Michael in there, he'll win. So I just wished I wished I'd have been more confident. I wished I'd have said, you know, I love you, but this ain't working. I'm gonna try something new.
Yep. That makes sense.
Sometimes you gotta step away. And I didn't do that. But when I say all that, I don't like regrets. There's things I wished I'd have done differently, and you phrased it that way, which is awesome. So I don't want it to sound like I regret it, because who knows what would have been happening or how it would have turned out differently. But that's something I think about occasionally.
Yeah. So I don't know who the next interview is with yet. So you could either give a question that I could ask just any race car driver, or when I know who it is, I can check back with you and you can give me like a more specific question. It's up to you.
I think if this is a good, either way is fine with me, but let me ask you, this is a good question. What did you think about Kyle Larson's move on the last lap at Darlington? Like that was fun. I mean, that your pole of 90%, I guarantee it'd have been 80% if he hadn't have done that. 70%. I mean, that's when you just say, I don't think this is going to work, but what if it did?
Yeah. I like that.
So that would be one question. And if you wanted to ask something that was more broad, it'd be like, what is the best moment, that one moment of your whole career, of everything you've done, what one thing stands out above the rest?
Oh, I love that question. That's great.
And
great.
If that question for me if that was for me, it would be on the cars in Daytona in 01 celebrating.
Yeah, I was looking at the picture right over your shoulder there. Yeah.
It doesn't even really have to be a win. It could be anything. But what's that one moment?
I love that. That's
probably my question.
Cool. Well, man, thank you so much for doing this. This was great. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
And good luck with the brewery grand opening this week coming up.
Well, I'll be there Friday night. If you get done bush racing and want to stop by, we'll be there.
Sounds good. Have a good one. Appreciate it.
Yep. Bye-bye.
See ya. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. Such an interesting guy. And obviously with a fascinating life and career, lots of ups and downs. So I appreciate him taking the time to do that. And although I didn't know it at the time, the next interview is going to be with Ryan Blaney. So Michael Waltrip's question, I get to ask Ryan Blaney that on next week's interview. Make sure to tune back in for that as well if you're a YRB fan. Anyway, I believe I said last week that the 50% off deal was about to end. It actually got extended one more week. It's doing really well for new subscribers to The Athletic. And you go to theathletic.com/12questions to sign up for that. I am told this offer like actually does end September 20th. It was supposed to end September 13th for the start of football season, but they extended it one more week. So Not sure when you're listening to this, but if it is before September 20th, last shot there to take advantage of this really good deal. I think it's $299 a month for all of The Athletic. It's really, you really can't beat that price. So make sure to do that. Again, theathletic.com/12questions. Everybody, thanks so much for listening, and I will talk to you next time right here on the 12 Questions Podcast.